afternoon and welcome, my friends. Yes, it is, I'll get this right. Today is Wednesday. It happens, you forget days from time to time. August the 16th is the date. Rabbi Noel with you, 1 hour. The hour of the next, excuse me, while I have a sip of water. Much better. The following hour brought to you by the Republic Trading Group. Yes, we are the guys that sell gold. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. Can you believe I never had a cough prior to coming on air, but that's the way these things happen. The web address for Republic Trading Group is republictradinggroup.com. Quick check of what's going on in the world of finance. Dow Jones Industrials closed up 96 points today. NASDAQ was up 34 points. All based on what, you say? Well, all based on bogus figures coming out from the government. U.S. core consumer prices eased in July to 0.2% gain. Prices charged for U.S. consumer products, excluding food and energy, because we don't use those things, eased last month, adding to the evidence of slowing inflation that may let the Federal Reserve hold interest rates steady. The so-called core prices, excluding food and energy, rose 0.2%, the smallest increase since February, which after a 0.3% gain the month earlier. This according to the Labor Department. Counting food and energy, prices rose 0.4% following June's 0.2% increase. Needless to say, it was a good day for metals. Gold in New York City closed up $6 at $629.50. Silver closed up 21 cents at $12.32. Platinum up $14. Palladium up $12. Oil lower by 34 cents, and surprisingly, dollar stronger by 2 basis points, ended the day at 84.79. A lot more to come right after this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Down at the Mardi Gras.
This is us in your daddy's car. You and the missing link.
Yeah, I had a little too much to drink now.
Too long in the sun.
Having too much fun.
You and me and our memories. This is us. This is us. This is us. This is us.
Walking at the barbecue.
Yeah, when you said I do. And jamming on the barroom floor. You in that wedding coat wore.
You in that amazing dress.
Welcome back, my friends, on this Wednesday. Was I shocked, and amazed by the report this morning that Christopher Bolin was arrested last night in Chicago in his front yard? Of course I wasn't. For those of you tuned into the show on Monday, I recounted a personal experience I had 20-odd years ago, a little country called South Africa, with the the protectors of the citizenry against the terrorist attacks that we were having, and how obviously I didn't qualify as quote-unquote a terrorist at the time. The people in positions of power wanted to send a message, and this is what they are doing. Pure intimidation, simple as that. This is to shame people into silence. Well, in South Africa's case, it was shame into silence. Now it's just trying to make people shut up. And this is what this all is. It's a psychological warfare game being instituted by the people in power who want to perpetuate this myth that we are facing a boogeyman. And that because they have complete disregard for the Constitution and all the Bill of Rights and everything that made this country great, they want to make sure that anybody who steps out of line is immediately slapped back into line. And to send a message to anybody else who wants to go out and do any independent investigation of the lies that the government tells, to be very careful. And the unfortunate fact is, these tactics do work. They are tried and tried tactics that have been used for decades by various totalitarian governments around the world. And it's a tried and true method, and my only hope is that it will not shut down those who have, well, the death wish of bringing the truth to the people on a daily basis. Today was another one of those amazing days that illustrates the point. We witnessed this morning wall-to-wall coverage on all major networks about a disturbance on an aircraft coming from London. Apparently, an unruly passenger had a bottle of Vaseline, a screwdriver, and a letter from Al-Qaeda. Needless to say, Fox News, I'm sure these people at Fox News just are salivating for the day an airplane blows up on their screen so they can justify all the stuff that they've been saying for so long, which is basically all a lie. You see, they want to believe this stuff badly enough that they got the nation in perpetual fear. So much for the home of the brave theory. And it wasn't only a plane being diverted to Boston that got some coverage today. Apparently, they shut down the port of Seattle because a dog sniffed something on a container ship that was coming from Pakistan. Well, it has to be a nuke in there. They shut down freeways in Los Angeles because someone sees a backpack on the side of the 405 freeway. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Los Angeles and driven down the 405 freeway, but you can see a lot more than packages lying on the side of the roads. But every now and again, in order to get you wiggy out there to think that somehow there's an imminent threat that you could die at the hands of terrorists. Let me tell you something. You got a better chance of winning a $200 million state ball lottery than being attacked by a terrorist. But they use this fear factor. The recent arrests in London illustrates my apologies, my friends. Apparently, we had a small power failure. nothing to do with any government agencies. As I was saying, this event that unfolded in London is more than likely going to prove to be zip zero, nada, zilch, nothing. I would be surprised if any one of those 24 are actually charged with a crime. But, obviously, it served a purpose. You see, whenever there's a major event that happens, and this is, if this happens once or twice, then you could say, okay, maybe a coincidence. But every time a major incident happens, and they want to divert people's attention away from the real issues that are going really badly, they gin up these terrorist attacks. Now, this is not the first one. As a matter of fact, most people would be amazed to learn that there's been at least a dozen false flag operations that have taken place since September the 11th. The most recent one, the events in London, came at an unusual time. And the invasion by Israel into Lebanon came at an unusual time. You see, because Iraq is sinking into civil war on a daily basis. The death tolls keep rising. It is apparent that the Bush-Blair agenda in Iraq is a complete failure of epic proportion. And so they needed something to divert attention away from Iraq. Now think how tough that is, considering that Iraq has been the main story for weeks on end, months on end, years on end. The invasion by Israel onto Lebanon took Iraq right off the front pages of all major newspapers, and it took it off all television shows. We were consumed with what was going on between Israel and Lebanon. When that little excursion started going really badly, in other words, the same mindset that permeated the Pentagon, thinking that we're going to drive into Baghdad and we're going to be treated as liberators. As soon as they realized that Israel wasn't going to repeat its six-day war success, in other words, defeating many Arab armies in 6 days, when it went past that six-day thing, it started stretching to 17 and 20 and 24 days, all of a sudden they said to themselves, we need a diversion. Because things are not going too well in the Middle East. Now we come up with 20-year-olds, college students in large part, are plotting to recreate Operation Bojanko, which was a plan by Al-Qaeda a decade ago that nobody at the time paid any attention to. But now we pay attention to it. Now it's consumed the news. So now we are not dealing with, obviously, what is going on in the Middle East. We're not dealing with what is going on in Iraq. But rather now we're dealing with the fear factor once again. The president, obviously, was quick to take credit for thwarting this latest terrorist attack because he wants to make you safer. That's his job. That's what he's consumed with, making you safer. After all, at the counter-terrorism outfit that he went to yesterday, that was his statement, that he swore an oath to make you safer. It's kind of hard to figure out, considering when you realize presidents swore an oath to defend the Constitution, not to defend you. It's a big difference. But let's not get into the semantics. As I said, this is this is one of at least a dozen incidences that you just got to go back and look at. And I don't care, you know, where you go back to look at it, there's just a lot of, well, let's call them coincidences over the years with these terror alerts. The one that always comes to mind for me is the numerous terror alerts that preceded the election in 2004. We had numerous terror alerts. As a matter of fact, you had Tom Ridge coming out saying that they had, they had solid evidence that there was going to be an Al-Qaeda attack in New York City prior to the Republican convention. Now, if you think, why would they want to do that? Why would they want to make people get wiggy before a Republican convention? Well, is it possible that it would free up funds from Homeland Security in order to help the Republicans amass a large security operation in New York City to make people feel a little unsafe about what was going on? Because after all, we now know that with a political debate in November is going to come to, and that's going to be whether or not the Republicans are going to protect you against the boogeyman more than the Democrats are. That's what this whole election is going to come down to. They have no other basis to talk about anything else. That's what the whole election is. Who's going to make you safer? And as I said, all you got to do is just go back and look. May 18th, 2002. The first details of the president's daily briefing of August the 6th, 2001 are revealed, including its title, Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S. The same day, another memo is discovered revealing the FBI knew of men with links to al-Qaeda training at an Arizona flight school. The memo is never acted upon. Questions about 9/11 intelligence failures started to swirl. 2 days later, on May the 20th, FBI Director Mueller declares another terrorist attack is inevitable. Thursday, June the 6th, Colleen Rowley, the FBI agent who tried to alert her superiors to the specialized flight training taken by Zacharias Massawi, whose information suggests the government missed a chance to break up the 9/11 plot, testifies before Congress. Senate Committee Chairman Graham says Rowley's testimony has inspired similar pre-9/11 whistleblowers. On June the 10th, 4 days later, John Ashcroft, then Attorney General, announced, I believe he was in Russia, that they have disrupted an unfolding terrorist plot. And he actually even named a terrorist. Yes, Jose Padilla. Ashcroft announced he was under arrest, accused of plotting a radiation bomb attack. In fact, Padilla had, by this time, already been detained for more than a month. On February the 5th, Secretary of State Powell tells the United Nations Security Council of Iraq's concealment of weapons, including 18 mobile biological weapons laboratories, justifying, as we now know, a U.S. first strike. February the 7th, 2003, 2 days later, as anti-war demonstrators continue to take place around the globe, Tom Ridge says you need to take time to prepare for an emergency. See, Mr. Ridge cites credible threats by al-Qaeda and raises the terror alert level to orange. 3 days after that, fire administrator David Paulson, who would, as we now know, later become acting head of FEMA after the Hurricane Katrina disaster, tells Americans to stock up on plastic sheeting and duct tape to protect themselves against a dirty bomb. July 23, 2003, White House admits that the CIA, months before the President's State of the Union address, expressed strong doubts about the claim that Iraq had attempted to buy uranium from Niger. December the 17th, 2003, 9/11 Commission Co-Chair Thomas Keene says the attacks of 9/11 were preventable. The next day, Federal Appeals Court says government cannot detain suspected radiation bomber Jose Padilla indefinitely without charges, and the Chief U.S. Weapons Inspector in Iraq, Dr. David Kaye, who has previously announced he has found no weapons of mass destruction, there announces he's going to resign. December the 21st, 2003, 4 days later, the Sunday before Christmas, the United States government raises the national threat level once again, claiming credible intelligence of further plots to crash airplanes into U.S. cities. Subsequently, 6 international flights into this country were canceled, and some passengers whose names purportedly produced matches on some government no-fly list. The French later identified those matched names. One belongs to an insurance salesman from Wales, another to an elderly Chinese woman, a third to a 5-year-old boy. March the 6th, 2004, the new chief weapons inspector in Iraq, Charles Dulfer, tells Congress, "We have still not found any weapons of mass destruction in the country." Then on the 31st of March, four Blackwater USA contractors working in Iraq are murdered, their mutilated bodies dragged through the streets, left on public display in Fallujah. April the 2nd, a few days later, FBI issues a new warning. They warn that terrorists may try to blow up buses and trains using fertilizer and fuel bombs like the one detonated in Oklahoma City. It just goes on and on and on, where there's one event that takes place and they want to take your eye off the ball. They come up with, once again, another terrorist attack. I don't know how long people are going to not connect the dots with this one. I mean, it's repetitious. It's the same thing over and over again. So as I said before, reading the story about Christopher Bolin this morning came as no shock or surprise to me. Today, we have once again a statement by the president trying to lay claim that the United States and the FBI were responsible in thwarting the terrorist attack in London. It's a lie. And as I said, they divert a plane this morning. A plane is diverted. Was supposed to fly from London to Dallas. Ends up getting diverted to Boston. And then we find out it's an 80-year-old woman that was having a claustrophobic attack. And she didn't have any Vaseline. She didn't have a screwdriver, and most importantly, she never had a letter from Al-Qaeda. Where did that story come from? I mean, this was the story this morning. Oh, yes, unruly passenger on an airplane flight. She has Vaseline, a screwdriver, and a letter from Al-Qaeda. Ooh, I have to be really nervous about that one.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Hey, Rick Adams here. Experience the incredible germ-killing power of oregano P73. It's scientifically proven. If you suffer from allergies, asthma, sinusitis, toenail fungus, athlete's foot, or any other condition, you need the immediate germ-killing power of oregano P73. Oregano P73 is an all-natural substance and even supports the immune system. For more info, call 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us. Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied towards your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
If I walked around at all, it was in bits and pieces of a jagged heart. You kissed me and every piece went back in place, every pain got erased. You held me up to the sunlight. Now it feels like no one ever left me out in the rain. Cold words still remain.
Welcome back, my friends, on this Wednesday. So why do so many people buy into these false flag operations and these bogus reports of terrorist attacks that are imminent? Now, I don't know if this is the root cause of everything. It's just speculation on my part. But more Americans know who Harry Potter is than can name the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Tony Blair, this according to a new survey. 57% of American citizens correctly identified J.K. Rowling's fictional teenage wizard. Just 50% could say who Britain's leader was, despite his close alliance with George Bush, the American president. The poll was commissioned by producers of Gold Rush, a new online game on popular culture. They also found that while more than three-quarters, 77% of Americans could name two of Snow White's seven dwarves, which I find rather disturbing in and of itself, I'd imagine that you could at least name three of Snow White's seven dwarves. But by the way, it's very politically incorrect to call them dwarfs. You're not allowed to use that term anymore. Horizontally challenged is the politically correct term. But less than a quarter, 24%, could identify two of America's nine Supreme Court justices. Asked what planet Superman was from, 60% named the fictional planet of Krypton, while only 37% knew that Mercury is the planet closest to the sun. Professor Robert Thompson, speaking for the Television and Popular Culture Society, said the findings were not about Americans being stupid, however. He says these results are not about how dumb Americans are, but how much more effectively popular culture information is communicated and retained by citizens than many of the messages that come from government, educational institutions, and the media. He concludes by saying there are important lessons to be learned here. No kidding, there are important lessons to be learned here. And I think in large part the reason why this administration gets away with murder, if you will, is because we are dealing with obviously a large swath of the population that, I don't know what it is, because of their schedules, work, taking care of kids, people will pay scant attention to news and information and take 10-second sound bites from the idiot box. And that's how they form their opinions on world events. And so if you're going to subject yourself to 10-minute sound bites to understand what is truly going on, you will buy into the concept that there's an Al-Qaeda member hiding under your bed, just waiting for the opportune time to jump up and slit your throat, all in the furtherance of his religious beliefs. I truly feel that if more people were educated about the true causes of the rise, if you will, in terrorism, they will have to start addressing some very uncomfortable positions. I heard a commentator on Fox News today, while they were discussing, there was a plane on the tarmac, they had just taken all the suitcases out and laid them on the runway, they had sniffer dogs out sniffing the suitcases. And I forgot, I should have made note of who the commentator was, but he was dumbfounded as to why people would want to kill innocent citizens from another country. He couldn't understand why any Muslim, as he called them, extremists, would want to kill Americans or the British. Because after all, he said, is that our foreign policy has always been to help these people. We've extended ourselves. Whenever there's a disaster in the world, America's the first country to go to its aid. He was completely naive about America's foreign policy. Because any student of history that has looked into the angst of those in the Middle East against Western culture and Western civilization will understand that their angst is based on the fact that they do not want Western culture and Western civilization in their countries. This is not hard to figure out. Osama bin Laden, sole reason for the attacks against America are based on, obviously, American foreign policy in the Middle East. But obviously, a lot of these people cannot understand it. It's the same thing whenever you talk about the 248 Marines that died in the Marine barracks in Beirut. It is if all of a sudden a group of Muslims decided for no apparent reason just simply to kill 248 Americans in Lebanon. Understanding that Israel just invaded Lebanon, the USS New Jersey off the coast of Lebanon, helping the Israelis, bombed into oblivion villages and towns in Lebanon. This initially caused Saddam, Osama bin Laden, I should say, to start his movement against expelling foreigners out of the Middle East, which they'd been attempting to do since the 20s when the British were in control of the Middle East. So to understand where we are, you can't just start it off at, well, these people are the ones that killed 248 Marines. The question is, why did they kill 248 Marines? And it all has to do with occupation. Pure and simple. It's nothing more complicated than that. But now we're at a situation where, because nobody understands the history, and because everybody bases everything on 10-second sound bites, that we're in the position that we are. And unfortunately, the people in power are, and they've created all these agencies to protect us from these boogeymen, which was all based on a false premise to begin with. As I've often said, if you base something on a false premise, all subsequent decisions you're going to make are going to be wrong. And so you have this false premise that these people have come up with. They've created all these government agencies to thwart this thing that was never there to begin with. And so what they've got to now do, after a while, is they've got to justify their existence. And this makes things very dangerous. This is the reason you start seeing these agencies trying to create situations. And I have no doubt in my mind that the situations created was one of the reasons that Christopher got himself arrested. See, because you've got a government agency out there that needs to find perpetrators of terrorism or sympathizers with terrorism. And so because it was based on a faulty assumption to begin with, these agencies are now going to start creating terrorists in order to justify their existence. It's like I often said, if they had to discover a cure for cancer today, do you think it would ever? Of course not. Why? Because millions of people would be put out of work. Because there's millions of people trying to find a cure for cancer. They've been trying to find a cure for cancer for how long? Who knows? Will we ever find a cure for cancer? Of course not. Too many people will be out of work. We now have huge government bureaucracies out there designed to thwart terrorism. Because their whole premise was bogus to begin with, we're never going to end this war. I will agree with the president. The war on terror is going to last in perpetuity. Why? Because it was based on a false premise. Nobody wants to address the real problems and answer the real questions. So ultimately, we've created all these government agencies that at some point in time, like right now, have to justify their existence. And so innocent people, ultimately, like Christopher, are going to be caught up in the net. What's Christopher's crime? Trying to find out the truth. He didn't believe what he was spoon-fed by the mainstream media. And so now, he gets himself, obviously, in a... Well, I'm sure he didn't want to be in this position because now he has a bullseye on his back. And I understand and I know exactly what that feels like. It's not pleasant. Going back to the terror plot in England. I mean, these are the facts of the matter. None of the alleged terrorists had made a bomb. None had bought a plane ticket. Many did not even have passports. Now, in the absence of bombs and airline tickets, and in many cases, as I said, passports, it could be very difficult to convince a jury beyond reasonable doubt that these individuals intended to go through as suicide bombers, whatever rash stuff they may have bragged about on internet chat rooms. And if we are to believe the reports from the British, many of those arrested had been under surveillance for over a year. Now, nothing, according to the Brits, in their surveillance, indicated the need for early arrests. So why was George Bush pushing them to announce this prior to Mr. Lieberman's recent runoff against Ned Lamont in Connecticut. You see, Ned Lamont's a real thorn in the side of this administration because, as most people will see, that election as a referendum against the war in Iraq. Well, when he obviously became aware, because of his brain, Karl Rove, telling him, oh, Mr. President, we've done some polling. It looks like Ned Lamont's going to win. President Bush was pushing Tony Blair to arrest those guys a week earlier, even though they had nothing to go on. See, it's all politics. And people buy into it. And it's amazing how they buy into it. But as I said, based on this poll, where more people can identify who the seven dwarfs were as opposed to the leader of Great Britain, I mean, this is disturbing. It just illustrates the tough road we have to hoe. Do I have any solutions to this problem? Unfortunately not. It's going to have to play itself out. Will we face more of the like of people like Christopher getting arrested? Well, of course, yes. Do I worry about a knock on the door? No. I'm too old and too jaded to be worried about that. But yet, you know, people buy into this fact that the president asserts that the reason that 9/11 occurred was a lack of freedom in the Middle East region that bred anger, resentment, and radicalism. This is, and I'm being kind here, this is a simple-minded explanation. And it makes absolutely no sense. It is designed to transform a more complex truth into a parody of reality. It is designed to ring emotional bells with Americans. He says they want to kill us for our freedoms. Now that's a buzzword, freedom, with Americans, because freedom is a precious value for most, if not all, Americans. And if only rhetorically, attacks on freedoms by outsiders traditionally means war. Bush simply wants to gain support for his war-making. His argument, as an argument, completely fails. There's always been a lack of freedom in many places on the planet. Why didn't they cause terrorism before? And if there was terrorism in the earlier years, why wasn't it detected against, why wasn't it, I should say, directed against the United States of America? Africans lack freedom. Didn't see any Africans attacking Americans. South Americans lack freedom. Muslims worldwide lack freedom. Russians lack freedom. Chinese lack freedom. Why didn't they grow terrorists to attack the United States? If freedom is lacking, it does not necessarily cause terrorism. Actually, the exact opposite sometimes happens. And there are many instances of terrorism and assassinations that have occurred when peoples were rather free, but some of them resented some action or other of a government or a state. Why did terrorists select the United States of America as a target in the late 20th century and in 2001? They clearly had grievances against the U.S. based upon its history of meddling in the affairs of Middle Eastern countries. It's not a lack of freedom that caused 9/11. The tragedy of 9/11 has political causes which arise from state relations between the United States and other states in the region. As I said before, Bin Laden has constantly stated on several occasions the reasons for 9/11, and they revolve around the presence of the United States political and military establishments in the Middle East. And then you got the Israeli question. which actually could be Christopher's main problem, because he was questioning, which you're not allowed to do, politically incorrect. Question Israel. Question its motives. Oh, yeah, well, we know the reason why we protect Israel, because it's a democracy in a sea of radical Islamofascists. First of all, I mean, there's a lie right there. Nobody's ever bothered checking out. Is Israel a democracy? Ask that question to people. But most people say, oh, yeah, yes, it's a democracy. How do you know it's a democracy? How do you define what a democracy is? Does Israel have a constitution? After all, that's the big point with Iraq. Well, the people of Iraq need to be free, they need to have a constitution, and they need to believe in their government. Well, why don't we ask the question, does Israel have a constitution? And the answer to that is, of course they don't have a constitution. Can you as a Gentile become a citizen of Israel? Of course you can't. Only Jews are allowed to become citizens of Israel. So if you start asking these questions, you start obviously stirring the pot. You better watch out. So where does this leave us? I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea where we're going from this point. All I can tell you is that from my personal experience, what this ultimately does, and this is the unfortunate thing, what it does is events like Christopher are gonna happen more times than not. What it effectively does is it shuts down any opposition voices to official government policy, which is the whole thing behind the war on terror. The war on terror is simply that. It is designed. That's why I said when Bush declared you're either with us or against us, when he declared the war on terrorists, every despot and dictator in the world threw their hands up, said, hallelujah, brother, yes, we will fight terrorism. Why would despotic governments want to fight terrorism? Why would Russia want to fight terrorism? Because you can define a terrorist by anybody who is opposed to official government policy. That's the definition of a terrorist in today's political world. If you don't toe the line, if you don't buy into government propaganda, you are by definition a terrorist. You want to kill someone, just call them a terrorist. We figured that out at Waco. You want to kill 80 women and children? And not have 250 million people up in arms about the killing of women and children on American soil? All you got to do is label them nuts and kooks. Now we've just simply replaced the nuts and kooks with the term terrorist. It's justifiable killing by governments in the name of making you safer. Now, I was actually going to go in a whole different direction tonight. Don't ask me why I went in this direction. I was actually going to talk to you about why you need to buy gold and lots of it. So with the last few minutes remaining, let me tell you why. From what I've just said for the last hour is the reason why you want to buy gold. Because the same people that are pushing this policy are the same people that are finagling Wall Street. Gold is an insurance policy, and I've said this before, gold is an insurance policy against the idiots within society who run large institutions. Just as Bush lies to us about terrorism, the Federal Reserve lies to us about inflation. Today's numbers that came out was another lie. I mean, just sit down on your own kitchen table. Do your bills from a year ago and do them today. And you tell me if it's 3%. Of course it's not. I can see it. Most of you out there can see it. Most of the educated world out there can see it. Which is the reason why you are seeing a flight out of the dollar into gold. We're at a pivotal point here with gold. And it's the reason why you've got to think about it very seriously. Because I always get people call up and say, you know, I wish I bought gold a year ago. Well, guess what? You're going to be saying the same thing to me a year from now when gold is trading at $800. So take some time to evaluate it for yourself. Gold is simply a bet against the dollar. Nothing more than that. If you think the dollar is going higher, then buy gold. If you think the dollar is going lower, you need to give us a call at Republic Trading. 1-800-691-7898. Till tomorrow evening, when I'll be joined by Jeffrey Bennett, my friends. Have yourself a good evening, in spite of the government. Till then, see you back.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.